Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Who's got the power? Who's got the power today? Let me see. Oh, Loretta's got the power. Marco, give me some power. Marco. Who's got the power? All right, who's got the power this week? Who's got the power this week? Oh, man, look at that. Look at that. Now, I got to point out some obvious things in this picture. First of all, it's the cutest picture ever. But those guns on Ridgely, are those registered? I mean, come on. So the left I'm going to call lightning and the right is thunder. I'll give you some thunder and lightning. Oh, cutest picture ever. The power. Friends, we are not as powerless as the enemy would have us believe. Amen?
Amen?
We are not as powerless as the culture would have us believe. Amen?
Amen?
We have been given by God Himself a divine power that can rise above anything. We have the Holy Spirit. We are not a powerless, hopeless people. As a church, as believers in Jesus Christ, as Spirit-filled followers of Jesus, we refuse to live any longer in powerlessness. We want to live in the flow and in the power of God. If God is for us, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, who can be against us? Right? You have divine power from God Himself residing inside you. And so that's what this series is all about, the power. The power that we have. Now, it's not a, I'm going to smash you in the mouth kind of power. No, there's too much of that. This is a holy power that God gives us that is even more dynamic than the explosive, vengeful kind of power that the world operates in. There's a couple words I want us to think about that are actually powerful words. The words, feed me. Any of you with teenagers at home, you hear this on a daily basis. Feed me. Feed me. I have a 6'2", 17-year-old football player, teenager at home, senior in high school, and I hear these words often. Feed me, you know. I'm hungry, and yeah, he can eat. And I like to remind him, I would say to him, Micah, ever since you were little, have we ever not fed you? You're going to be fed. Hold your horses. You're going to be fed. Here's another two-word sentence that's pretty powerful. Help me! Help me! If you're ever in a difficult situation and you need assistance, help me! And you pray that someone hears your cry for help and you get the assistance you need. Here's another two-word sentence that we frequently use. Serve me. You go to a restaurant, you expect to be served. Serve me. Another two-word powerful sentence that we frequently use are the two words, excuse me. Now, that can be taken one of two ways. Excuse me, you know, or excuse me, you know. Now, what do all those phrases have in common?
Me.
Me. Exactly. Me, myself, and I. We live in a me-oriented culture. It's all about me. It's not necessarily wrong, but when it becomes all exclusively about me, that's when we border on narcissism and selfishness and egotism. So it can't be all about me. But today I want to talk about a two-word sentence that is more powerful, more wonderful, more amazing than any of these examples that I gave you. And it is simply the phrase, thank you. Thank you. Jesus talks about this in Luke chapter 17. Turn with me in your New Testaments to Luke chapter 17. In a message that I'm calling this morning, The Power of Gratitude. The Power of Gratitude. And if we can really seize upon the Holy Spirit indwelling power of gratitude that God gives us, amazing things can happen to us and through us and beyond us. Luke chapter 17, this is a fascinating story that has really captivated my attention for a very long time. There's some powerful truths here. Luke 17, beginning at verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. They were saying, help me, help me, help me. Verse 14. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. How cool is that? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He actually threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was there no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Lord, every time I read this story, I am struck by some element of this fascinating account of what you did for these men, what the 9, how they went about living their life, but that one, he was different. He was set apart. He really understood what you did for him. And he came back and said thank you and praised you. Lord, there's so many implications here for us. But I've got to believe that there is power in being grateful and in having a spirit of gratitude for all the good that you do for us. And I pray that as a church whose name is All Things Good, that we will always praise you and say thank you for the good that you're doing in our lives. We know it's so easy to focus on the negative and how things aren't going right. We all fall into that trap. So Lord, help us to seize upon the power of gratitude and to be like this one. And to be set apart. In your name I pray. Amen. A couple quick things I just want to point out in this story that I just read to you is that we are all in the same boat. 10 men, all with leprosy. Leprosy was a very despised disease back then, and still even in many parts of the world and in many parts of the United States today, it's still a thing where it's highly contagious and you get these sores and it, you know, different people take on different symptoms. But if you came down with leprosy, you were ostracized to a leper colony and your life was miserable, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. You couldn't go to the temple. It was not a good way to live. And the fact that all 10 of them had this just reminds me we are all in the same boat. No one on this planet is any better than anyone else. We are all sinners. We all fall short. We all have spiritual disease. We all are human. We are all in the same boat. The other thing that I see in this passage is that Jesus is all about restoration and healing. These men called out to him. They said, Jesus, have mercy on us, heal us, save us. And without playing favorites, Jesus does what he does, and he healed all of them. Jesus wants to heal every single one of us. He wants to bring about restoration and salvation, and he wants to make us whole. And this is exactly what Jesus does. His grace is beyond our understanding. Whether or not they deserved to be healed is not the question. Jesus just lavished his healing grace upon them, and they were cleansed as they went to show themselves to the priests in the temple. The other thing that this passage highlights to me is that the majority is all about me. 9 out of these 10, they just went about their merry way. Jesus had done a remarkable work in their life. They had been miraculously healed from this horrible disease, and yet it was still just about them. They went off to play golf. They went off to, they just went about their merry life. And it was all about them. The majority of people in our culture, it really is all about me. The next thing I see in this passage is that only the minority will be grateful. Only 10%, the 1 out of the 10, was so grateful enough that he came back to Jesus and praised him and thanked him for this incredible work of grace that he had done in his life. And not only is it the minority, but it is the minority within the minority, because this man was the least likely one to come back to Jesus. The scriptures make it very clear here that he was a despised Samaritan. He was a pagan. He was not of the Jewish faith. And so the least likely of the minority within the minority, is the one who came back to Jesus, which just boggles my mind. And it also boggled Jesus' mind, because Jesus said, "Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? All were cleansed, but only one came back to say thank you to Jesus. When Jesus healed all 10, it says here that they were all healed. But then when this one came back, it says that his faith made him well. It's not the same Greek word. What Jesus did for the 10 is the Greek word kerathos, which basically means they were physically made well. They were made well enough that they could go to the temple and go to the priest, and physically they were well. They could pass a physical exam. Jesus did that for all of them. When the one came back to Jesus, it's a different Greek word. It seems from this passage that this one who came back to Jesus, who thanked him, received a special blessing that the other 9 did not receive. Because when the Bible says that his faith made him well, that's the Greek word sozo, where we get our word salvation. So not only was he physically made well, but he received a salvation blessing grace from God that the other 9 did not receive. It was the power of his gratitude, coming back to Jesus, worshiping him, falling in front of him at his feet, crying out to him, saying thank you with a heart full of genuine, authentic gratitude. It was in that act of worshiping Jesus, thanking him, that he received sozo, salvation, wholeness in God's sight. So not only was he physically well, but he was spiritually set free as well. That is the power of gratitude, of coming to Jesus daily, weekly, on the Lord's Day, and saying, thank you, God, for what you are doing. The point of this passage is quite obvious. We need to make it a practice to say thank you. Thank you to God, first and foremost, for his many blessings, but also thank you to one another. Those two words, thank you, are so powerful, you can make someone's day. I've shared with you before, and I'll share it with you again. And not to boost me, But I do this because I love surprising people, especially when we go out to eat, and those of you in the service industry, you know how hard that job is, and you know they work hard for not as much pay as they deserve, and they're dealing with rude customers all the time. And I try to make it a habit when I'm done eating to just tell my server or whoever, thank you for the meal. And often the look on their face is like, what? We never hear this. Guys, it's so simple to make someone's day, to show your appreciation for how they helped you, how they served you, how they waited on you. Or just simple things in seeing the good in others and just simply saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Not only does it empower them, but it empowers you. And it makes our world a better place. To live with this spirit of gratitude. Researchers have been very curious about this notion of gratitude and what it actually does for us as humans. And I'm talking in the academic sense. There are academic researchers, and this body of research is actually growing, who really have sought to study the power of gratitude and what it does for people. And so let me just read to you one study that I found that I think you might find interesting. Two psychologists, Dr. Robert Edmonds of the University of California, Davis, and Dr. Michael McCullough of the University of Miami, have done much of the research on gratitude. In one study, they asked all participants to write a few sentences each week, focusing on particular topics. One group wrote about things that they were grateful for that had occurred to them during the week. A second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third group wrote about events that had affected them, with no emphasis on either being positive or negative. After a 10-week study, those who wrote about gratitude were more optimistic and felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more and had fewer visits to physicians than those who had focused on sources of aggravation. Another leading researcher in this field, Dr. Martin Siegelman, a psychologist at the University of Pennsylvania, tested the impact of various positive psychology interventions on 411 people, each composed with a control assignment of writing about early memories. When their week's assignment was to write and personally deliver a letter of gratitude to someone who had never been properly thanked for his or her kindness, participants immediately exhibited a huge increase in happiness scores. This impact was greater than that from any other intervention, with benefits lasting for a month. Of course, studies such as this, one cannot prove cause and effect, but most of the studies published on this topic support an association between gratitude and an individual's well-being. Other studies have looked at about how being grateful can improve relationships. For example, a study of couples found that individuals who took time to express gratitude for their partner not only felt more positive towards the other person, but also felt more comfortable expressing concerns about their relationship. The power of being grateful. The power of saying thank you. The power of focusing on others. And it's right within our grasp. Several years ago, Denzel Washington gave a commencement speech talking about this very issue. And so what someone did was take a portion of that speech, and then they built upon it. And I want to show you this video. It's less than 5 minutes long, but it highlights the power of being grateful. And then I'm going to give you a quick assignment to end our time together. I'm going to give you each a piece of paper and a pencil. I'm going to have you just write a thank you note to someone, showing your appreciation and your gratitude to them. I thought about this and I said, well, why not just give them the piece of paper and have them do it sometime next week? Well, I know what would happen to me. That never happens. We get so busy. even with the best of intentions, we just forget. And I feel so strongly about this that in this moment that we have together, we need to intentionally take the time to really think about how we need to express our thankfulness to someone that we might not otherwise do. And so as we watch this video, be praying, be thinking, who can I express thanks for? Genuine, authentic thanks for who they are and what they mean to you. And I want you to handwrite it. I suppose you can text it if you want to. To me, there's something powerful about handwriting a note. And mail it to them, give it to them, however you want to deliver it to them. But during the video, we're going to pass out a half sheet of paper to you. And there should be a pencil in the pew rack in front of you, if you've got a pen, whatever. And be thinking about how you are going to express your intentional gratitude to someone today.
Say thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for parents. Thank you for love. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for humility. Thank you for peace. Thank you for prosperity. Say thank you in advance for what's already yours. It's how I live my life. That's why I am. One of the reasons why I am today. Say thank you in advance for what is already yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for every moment that led to this day. Thank you for the hard times. They made me appreciate the good times. Thank you for the lessons. They were needed for my development. Thank you for my eyes that get to witness the miracles of today and tomorrow. Thank you for everything I take for granted. Thank you for all of my blessings. Thank you for my drive. Thank you for my spirit. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for giving me the courage to fight through the hard times. Thank you for the people in my life, those I love and those I learn from. Thank you for it all. Thank you. Thank you. It's the key that opens the door to instant happiness. Unlocks the door to everything we are really seeking in life. Happiness and contentment. Think about it. No matter what you say you want, money, riches, health, to help others, why do you really want it? When you drill deep down, the only reason anyone wants anything is the feeling we believe we will get from having it. That all boils down to happiness and contentment. And the truth is, we can have it now if we are grateful. And if you get quiet, get away from the noise of the world, and think for a moment about what you could be grateful for, I'm sure you could find plenty. Be grateful there's food on the table, air in your lungs, life in your body. Get grateful that you have opportunity. Opportunity to take your life to a whole nother level. To decide right now that you are going to live your dreams and never settle until you do. Get grateful for the mental strength you've been given to survive the hard times. Get grateful for your limbs if you have them. Many are not so blessed. Your eyesight if you have it. Many are not so blessed. Your hearing if you have it. Many are not so blessed. The health you do have. Many are in worse positions. Get grateful for that one person that has had an impact in your life, or many people if you are so blessed. Then get grateful you can choose to be that person for someone else. That one that makes a difference in someone else's life, no matter how small. Get grateful you get to experience this magical universe. Today, look for miracles. I guarantee if you are looking, you will see them. There are unlimited things to be grateful for. Open your eyes. Unlock your amazing life. It's ready for you right now.
Thank you for this day. Whatever it brings, whether a challenge I need to grow, a lineup to teach me patience, an unexpected blessing, every moment of joy, whatever today brings, thank you. Whatever it brings, I pray I have enough presence in each moment to know that no circumstance is my life. No high or low, no event, no thing is my life. Life is energy, and I know I'm so much more than my physical body. Thank you for my ability to love, to give to others my authentic love and kindness without expecting anything in return. Thank you for my strength. Thank you for my presence. Thank you for my ability to attract only the things and people that are in harmony with what I need in my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this day, whatever it brings.
Amen. So I'm going to give you 3 or 4 minutes. I want you to write, and then let's just take this moment and express our thanks to someone that God impresses upon your heart. And so let's just do that right now. 3 or 4 minutes, and then I'll wrap us up in prayer. You're the goodness in my life, and I'ma tell you my truth. Yeah. They may come. I can see some of you are still writing. Keep writing. Keep writing. But I do want to wrap us up in prayer. Guys, we have an incredible power that God has given us to show graciousness and gratitude in a world that has forgotten what it's like to be civil and kind. Amen? We have a tremendous power. Father, help me to be a person of gratitude. I know it's so easy to find fault in this or that, but you have called us to give you praise and thanks first and foremost. And every day, if we look hard enough, if we think about it, there is reason to praise you and there is reason to thank you. And so may this attitude of gratitude just flow out of us like springs of living water onto others. And help us to empower others with 2 simple but profound words. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.